Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Today, we're going to talk about motivation. How does motivation work? How can we stay motivated towards a big goal? And what can we do when we're losing it? So Adi, why is motivation important? Why are we talking about this today?
Well, motivation is the reason why you want to do something. And it's also, we literally looked up the definition before this podcast. So, and it's also the desire or willingness to actually complete something. So it's really important because having motivation can give you that boost of energy to take action, which is required in order to see progress towards a goal. So it's that like feeling inside you where you're really excited about something and putting in effort or doing work is not seen as a big burden, but actually inspiring as you're heading towards something that you're really excited about. So if that's a career goal or a fitness or a nutrition goal or a personal development goal, whatever it is, having motivation makes it easier to do the work that is required. Because no matter what, when you have any type of goal, it's going to take work and discipline. And if you're not motivated at all, that probably means you don't have an desire within yourself to actually head towards that goal.
To reach that goal at all, right? Yeah.
And then it's going to be way harder to actually do the work required. And therefore, it's probably not a great idea for you to head in that direction.
Right.
But why is it important to talk about motivation today is because that motivation is not – it's not like a thing that's constant. You don't constantly feel the same level of motivation throughout the entire path towards a goal. Sometimes goals take like years and years and years, and in the moment, life is happening at the same time. So that particular motivation is not the only thing in your life, and there are stressors that can like numb some aspect of motivation or subdue that feeling. And understanding the ebbs and flows of motivation can help you really decipher, you know, the difference between, oh, I actually don't want to head toward this goal anymore, and then you can let it go. And the difference between, I'm just not feeling necessarily as motivated right now, but I still in my best self, and like what I want most for myself is to continue heading in that direction. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily using motivation as a guide for your behavior, but understanding it enough to know when it's really high, why it is that way, when it's really low, what I can do to continue heading towards my goals and not just like forfeit them.
Right. What you're saying reminds me of that adage that goes something like, don't let your feelings dictate your behavior. Mm-hmm. Just because you're not feeling super motivated and inspired in this moment doesn't mean that you shouldn't continue working towards this big goal that was super important to you at one time. It's definitely something to check in with if it persists, if you are persistently not excited to do something. But just because you go through a week or even a month of a lull where you're not feeling a bunch of motivation doesn't mean you should get off the path.
Right. And sometimes one of my favorite quotes about this is like, sometimes you have to give up what you want now for what you want most. And that's like really potent when you're talking about motivation.
I mean, this has come up thousands and thousands of times at WAG. Whenever someone starts a nutrition program where they're working one-on-one with someone, they are super motivated, mm-hmm. right? They just made a big financial commitment, a big commitment in terms of they're going to be opening up to this person, and they're feeling super motivated.
Yeah.
They feel like their body, their life can change if they really lean into this. Mm-hmm. But why doesn't every single one of those people reach their goal? And a lot of it comes down to they lack motivation at some point. And they don't have this perspective of sticking through it through motivation. And so what we're going to talk about is what to expect in motivation, how it works a little bit, how to maximize your own level of motivation so that you can reach your goals faster and more efficiently. And then we're going to talk about a couple of tactical things at the end of how to really maximize motivation. I did a live cast with my friend Justin Sua the other day that reminded me of the Daniel Pink book, Drive, which is a book entirely on motivation, phenomenal book. And in the book, he talks about three things that we need in motivation. And the first is autonomy. Every one of us wants a different level of autonomy in reaching our goals our own way. So in the workplace, some of us want to do our jobs how we want to do it, when we want to do it, where we want to do it. We want to turn it in when we want to turn it in. I personally need a very high level of autonomy. Like, I hate people telling me what to do, period. Mm-hmm. You're on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, I love people telling me what to do. I do see, like, there's some level of autonomy that everybody wants, because when you feel like you have no choice, motivation is just gone. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I feel like I'm not choosing this in any capacity, then you feel almost like trapped, or like there's no desire to do this. It's like, it's not for me. I had no say. I have no skin in the game. But I'm definitely on the other end of the spectrum in view. I love somebody telling me what to do. I love someone telling me what project to work on, as much information as possible on how to get it done to get me started. That like initial getting started piece for me takes a lot of energy most times. I love to know when they want it to be done by. If I have to come up with that motivation internally, like figure that stuff out internally, it takes me more energy. I'd prefer like someone to just give it to me. Like, tell me how you want to do it. Tell me when you want it done, and I will do it with amazing quality.
Right. But the autonomy that you do like is being able to do your work wherever you can and work whatever time of day that you want. So there's still some level of autonomy that I think you enjoy.
For sure.
And so the bottom line that Daniel Pink brought up is that a lot of our society is built on kind of a factory system where people had to clock in at 9 and out at 5 or even later, and they had to do exactly what their boss told them.
You take
exactly
your lunch hour this time.
Exactly.
You do this is exactly how you do your job, and there's like no real choice in the matter at all.
And that kills motivation. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants some level of autonomy. Number two is competency. And this is a term that Justin uses. Daniel Pink uses the term striving towards mastery. So mastery and competency. This is where we just want to see that we're improving at something, right? We see that we're making progress towards the goal. I'm thinking back to one of the times in my life when I felt the most motivated, and it was when we were training for the 2012 CrossFit Games. We had a coach, and we'll talk about the role of a coach and an accountability partner in a little bit. We had a coach and a very structured program. And I just saw every single part of my fitness improve very rapidly. Like, I was training with people that were better than me. I was like so dialed in, and I just saw everything improving, like hitting PRs all over the place. I've never felt more motivated. It was incredible. It's such a good feeling.
Well, bringing it back to, you know, someone starts a nutrition program at WAG and they start super motivated, and then that motivation starting to wane, a lot of times it's when they're not seeing progress. And sometimes it's like the commitment wasn't there, or, you know, like it wasn't the right fit or whatever it is. Like, there could be a million different reasons, but most times, I would say probably – I'm making up this percentage, but 95% of the time, that person's not looking for progress in all the areas that they could possibly be looking for progress. So most people, when it comes to a fitness or nutrition goal, they're looking at like a tangible or numerical information to monitor their progress. So let's say it's for fitness, you're looking at the number on the scale, or you're looking at the way that you look in the mirror. And those are like the only two markers of progress that matter. When it comes to the gym, you're looking at how much weight is on the bar or the time that you finished a workout in. And sometimes those particular markers of progress, they're just two of like 20 that you could possibly be looking at. But those are the most like glorified or like the sexiest ones, you know, it's like the ones you can brag about, the ones that people see more, the ones that are most noticeable, the ones that are like, the ones that are, how would you describe it?
It's like, well, I would add that I think people really believe that that's all they care about. And I don't think that's actually true.
No, it's definitely not actually true, because if you take a second to like zoom out for a minute, there's actually so much that you could notice that you're actually making progress on. And maybe it's not the number on the scale or the way that you look in the mirror right now, but the things that you are making progress on, like for example, you're more consistent in the gym than you've ever been. Like you're going 4 days a week and you used to only go two, sometimes one. You like would be infrequent. You would like kind of be like, you know, flaky about it. Like you'd go in, you're going consistently to the gym. That's progress, regardless of whether you're lifting more weight or your times are faster in the gym. Like that is definitely progress. You are eating more vegetables than you've ever eaten in your life. You are sitting down to eat your meals and cooking more than you ever have. You are actually just like thinking about your fitness and nutrition, period. Mm-hmm. Like that is progress within itself, which those things, if you pay attention to them, they'll keep you motivated, because you're like, wow, you know, we're so quick to criticize and like see where we're lacking progress, and not often enough are we celebrating the areas that we're making progress. And that can look different for every single person. Like it literally could be you laying in bed at night with your hand over your heart and you're like, man, I'm doing a good job today. Like I did a great job. I cooked my meals today. I ate a bunch of vegetables, and like just celebrating that, that can keep you motivated. And the secret is that those things are actually necessary to get the progress that you're actually looking for. So being more consistent, you know, eating better foods, focusing and thinking about your nutrition, that's a requirement to see, you know, changes on the scale and PRs in the gym. Like the PRs and the changes on the scale are a byproduct of all of the other markers of progress that you're not even paying attention to. So if you can get yourself fired up about that stuff, I think that's like the only way I've stayed motivated for this long. I mean, I was almost 200 pounds and I was 16 years old, and I'm now 28 years old, and I've maintained and sustained that weight loss and like still stayed on top of my fitness and nutrition through like, you know, peaks and valleys for sure. Like I still struggle with body image. I still struggle with all that stuff. And I'm of the few people that maintain that success long-term, mm-hmm. especially in America. And I think a lot of that is because I pay attention to my commitment to myself, not just those like tangible markers of progress.
You have integrity with yourself. And what you're kind of talking about as well here is you're controlling the markers of progress that you can control. And then you're choosing to not put as much stock or freak out when you're not seeing progress on the ones that you can't control, especially in the short term. You're controlling adherence. You're controlling things like hitting your macros, drinking enough water, like the things that are completely inside of your control. And then you also know that by sticking to that process, you're more likely to see results on the other markers of progress.
Definitely, for sure. And it's not like I think that you should never look at those markers of progress. They're definitely motivating. I mean, that's like seeing the number on the scale change and seeing the way you look in the mirror change is super motivating. It's just more of a long-term thing. If you're not seeing, because there's so much that you're not paying attention to, that's important to get skills at how to pay attention to those things, like building self-awareness around those things. And that can keep you motivated for longer, mm-hmm. because those things are changing more often. Like your consistency, your attitude, your mood, your effort, like that stuff that you're in control of day to day, the scale and the way you look in the mirror are things that change more sporadically. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you stock all your motivation there, it's just not going to be as consistent.
I think you told me about this example before, and Justin just used it the other day about the elevator with one cable. Mm-mm. Did you tell me about that?
No, I don't
so, think so motivation is like an elevator, and just using one marker of progress, like weight, is like having an elevator with one cable.
Oh, you're
if you're
screwed,
not
yeah.
seeing any movement on that one with that one cable, then you're not going anywhere. But if you have all kinds of different measures of progress, I think we have 12 different at WAG, 15 at WAG, there's all of these different cables, so that if one of them's not showing improvement right now, you have all of these others that might be, that are going to help you maintain motivation, help you maintain adhering to whatever program or plan you're following to reach your
goal. Right. I talk about a similar metaphor that you're probably thinking of as the buckets. Like you have multiple buckets. So if you have only one bucket of water and then you get a crack in that bucket, you're out of water and you're kind of shit out of luck. But if you have many different buckets that are filled with water, if one of them cracks, it's like not that big of a deal. My mom is like a great example of this. The first time she ever started WAG and like tracking her nutrition, she really wanted to like lose a couple pounds. She's a small woman, so she didn't have that much weight to lose. She went all in. She's very much like me, like 100% or bust. And she went all in, and within 10 days, she didn't see any change on the scale. And I vividly remember her getting out of her room, being like, screw this, and took creamer and put it in her coffee. And she's like, why am I doing all of this work if I'm not seeing any changes on the scale? She was just like so frustrated and had all of her eggs in that one particular basket. And then later on, I think like 6 months later, my dad started doing it, and he couldn't do it without her. Like if anyone knows my dad, he just like, he needs my mom to do this. So she started doing it with him, and then it was like more to help him was her motivation. So then she stuck with it for longer, and now she's been doing it for 3 years and she hasn't even stopped.
So, amazing.
Yeah.
So we've got autonomy, we've got competency or mastery, and then we've got the third one, which is relatedness. So Justin's is relatedness. Daniel Pink's final one is purpose, and that's more in the workplace. So we won't talk about that today. We're just talking about other goals. So the third one is relatedness, and this is your support system from your peers, from your family, from a coach, from other people in general. And a term that we use a lot is enrollment. When you have something that you're working towards, you have a big goal, it really helps to enroll people in what you're up to, what you're accomplishing, so that they can then hold you accountable. If you have goals like you want to just, I don't know, you want to be a healthier person, you want to qualify for some event, you want to lose a certain amount of weight, and you don't tell anyone around you, what you're doing is you're not giving them a chance to support you and to hold you accountable when you're feeling tempted to.
And you're giving yourself a way out. You're giving yourself a way out because when motivation starts to wane, because motivation really is like an emotion that you feel in the moment. And sometimes it's super strong and sometimes it's weak and sometimes it's going to ebb and flow. So when it's in a lull and motivation's down, you now have a way out. It's like, well, nobody really knows about it. It's easier to let yourself down than it is to let other people down. Or it's easier to not stick to something if nobody knows about it. Cause it's like, oh, no one's gonna know I've bailed on this commitment to myself. Mm-hmm. There's no consequence really. Like there's no like feeling of like, ooh, like I don't want them to think I've bailed on myself or I've not stayed committed to this goal. So enrollment is an amazing thing with any type of goal that you have. Not only do I think it gives people an opportunity to support you, but I think the more that you put things out into the universe of like, I want to do this, like the more often you say it out loud, the more real it becomes and the more it becomes like a part of your life.
Your identity.
And just, you know, keeping it inside is not strong enough. I think the more you say it out loud, the more, like I used to do this with at 11:11 or like when I went over railroad tracks, I would like say out loud, I wish for XYZ. I think the more you say it out loud, the more like it keeps it present for you. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that you want to happen, which therefore like it reminds you about your actions of if they're aligning with that.
In terms of identity, who we tell ourselves that we are, it's one thing if we're just talking about ourselves, and it's another when we're talking about who we are to other people. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm a really overweight person, and I decide I'm going to be a fit person and I'm going to become healthier, it's one thing to just decide that and think that on my own. But then there's this other aspect of who everyone else sees me as. And if I know everyone else sees me as this big, heavy person, that's going to at some point come into play in terms of my behavior.
For sure.
And it's going to be really hard for me to break out of that identity if I'm not sharing this with other people.
Right. Because if you share it with the people in your life that maybe see you or treat you as this overweight person, so they know you being this like this person who eats a particular way. So then they're going to like offer you those things, like those food items, or invite you to particular events that they know are part of this identity that you no longer want to hold. So if you now enroll them in this new opportunity for yourself to be a different person, they might now know that, oh, I shouldn't invite them to this thing. And like, it's going to reduce a lot of the temptations in your life. So let's say this person like bakes for a baking shop, like your friend, and they like bring you the leftover cookies. If you enroll them in your opportunity, like, I want to make a change, I don't want to be overweight anymore, they're probably going to be like, oh, now I know this about you. I'm going to treat you like this person who wants to be fit and healthy and lose weight. Therefore, me bringing you cookies does not contribute to your goals. And I want to support you and I want to be there for you. So there's going to be things like that that come up where these people now have an opportunity to treat you like the person you want to be instead of this person that you no longer want to be.
Right. Another aspect of relatedness is having a coach or a mentor or a teacher of some sort. And I know an aspect of motivation is receiving feedback on how you're doing, whether it's positive or constructive. And having some kind of mentor really helps that, right?
Yeah.
If it's a nutrition program, then, hey, this is how my week went. This is where I'm struggling. What do you think? And then the ability to get, hey, this is what you're doing well. Here's how you can improve. That's going to lead to a lot more motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that person, having somebody who's either been there before themselves or seen many people go through those situations, it can give you a little bit of a level of confidence of, you know, anything I encounter, this person's going to help me, support me through it. They've seen it before. There's no judgment. There's no, like, a really good coach is a safe place for you to, and they've probably seen almost anything before. So it's easy for them to notice what you're doing, and they'll notice things that you can't even notice for yourself because you're in it and attached to it. I mean, I still work with a nutrition coach. It's like really important for me because I just have blind spots where I'm just like, I want to ignore certain aspects of my nutrition because they like feel good in the moment, even though it's not what I want most. So it's really important and useful to have a mentor or a coach. And another aspect of enrollment that I think is also really motivating or can help increase motivation is not just enrolling people and like letting them know who you want to be or the goals that you have, but getting people doing it with you, I think is so motivating. Like I was following along with Joe Rogan's Sober October with his friends. Mm-hmm. So he had like four friends that they did this Sober October thing, and they all wore like heart rate monitors or something of that sort to like track how many calories they were burning in a day. And I mean, these are like really extreme guys. So I don't think this is like very a great example for like relatable. There's aspects that you can think of for yourself,
right?
But these guys took this, like there was no drinking, no smoking, like no, it was completely Sober October. And then they, whoever burnt the most calories, like got this like belt, and they like, they became the champion of their Sober October. And like Joe Rogan did like 4 hour workouts a day. Like every single day he worked out for like 4 hours. Like,
wow.
He did like kickboxing classes and like went on like there was one guy that didn't work out at all in his group, and he went on like a 13 mile run the first day. Like these guys just go so extreme, but having a group of people that they were doing it together, they're like, no way. Maybe I'm going to lose and I won't win the challenge, but I'm going to give these guys like a run for their right. money, you know, like I'm going to make them work for it. And I think it can really help, you know, if I have somebody who's going to the gym with me, they're texting me being like, hey, what time are we going to the gym tomorrow? It creates like this barrier of I'm going to have to let them know I'm not going to the gym. And then I'm going to like be watching them get progress on me. And sometimes that like lights a fire in me. It's like when I work out by myself, when versus we work out together, I push myself way harder. Like
right.
having someone beside me that's like, we're both trying to make progress and I don't want you to like get a leg up on me. So that is super motivating for me.
Another concept that we really love, we got from a psychologist that we follow named Jordan Peterson. And it is that it really helps motivate you if you have something that you're running towards and something that you're running away from. So the running towards is like a big goal of some sort. And the running away from is some type of external accountability or external consequence that happens to us if we don't adhere to a habit or we don't reach our goal.
Right.
For instance, I created like a 10-year vision for myself recently. And one of mine is that I want to speak in front, I will speak in front of 10,000 people, and I will do such a good job that they immediately ask me to speak at the next event,
I love it.
That's incredibly motivating. It's inspiring to me. Is it possible? Sure. Is it likely to happen? I don't know how likely it is to happen, but I see that it's possible. And so it's motivating me to develop these skills. I'm running towards this big goal.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be something super large. Like on you have this big goal, which is super, it's great.
Because it's 10 years from now. Yeah, it's 10 years from now. So it has to be really big if it's that far away.
If it's that far away, it has to be huge. And then if you think about the kind of goals that you'd have to hit along the way, there are like little goals along the way, like speaking in front of 100 people or speaking in front of 1,000 people or speaking in general in public or filming yourself being spoken or working with a speaking coach. Like there's so many things along the way that help keep you motivated. For anybody who's listening, something for you to run towards. I really struggled with this when I stopped competing as an athlete. It was like a huge struggle for me because I'm like, what am I running towards? Like what? For me, like longevity and overall health is definitely something I'm running towards, but that's like 140 years from now because I'm going to live to 168. But it's like hard to stay connected to something that far, you know, like maybe it's like 80 years from now. So it's like really hard to stay connected to something that's that far. So I've been working really hard to find other things that I'm running towards. And that for me has like, I'm finding something new to run towards all the time. And it can be something as little as we're going on a vacation and I want to look like we went to Burning Man and I wanted to just like feel my best in my skin so that I could feel totally like let go of any self-consciousness when I was there.
You did a photo shoot last year?
I did a photo shoot.
You were super motivated before that.
Super motivated before a photo shoot. Our wedding was really motivating. Another friend's wedding or even like a party I'm having at the house, like making up anything that can be like a timeline for you, it creates like a scarcity of like, I only have X amount of time to get this goal done. 80 years is like a little bit too long.
Right.
So having any type of goal that is very motivating for you and you're like, okay, I'm going to put that on the calendar. I'm going to know how many days there are left. Like there's a level of scarcity of why, like time is running out. And a lot of people, I work with a lot of games level athletes on their nutrition and they say like, what's the difference between a games level athlete and a regular person? A regular person doesn't often have a day that they have to be ready for. You know, they don't have this like thing that they're running towards like the games athletes. Like they have the CrossFit games. Like the CrossFit games are going to come and go regardless of whether they're ready for it or not. So it creates this like level of scarcity where, oh, if I don't get my shit together, then other people are going to get a leg up on me and I'm not going to be ready for the CrossFit livelihood. Games. Yeah. So if you can just like manufacture that type of thing in your life, which is definitely possible. It's not like, oh, I'm not a games athlete, so I don't have the CrossFit games. You can create that type of motivation in so many different ways. It just has to like genuinely be something that you really feel motivated towards, you enroll people in, and you remind yourself constantly, like whether it's reminders on your calendar or, I mean, I've been doing a challenge that we're going to talk about running away from, but my challenge with something to run away from is like moving 30 minutes a day. And I post on my Instagram story like almost every day, like what my 30 minutes of movement was. And that's just like motivating for me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to like share it. Who cares? Like, I really don't care who's looking at it, but it's motivating for me.
Also listen to our one that we did on habits because we want to be running towards big goals. We want to be working towards big things in our lives. And we know that the most impactful thing for us over a long period of time is that we have high performance habits. That's what's actually going to lead to progress and to achievement and fulfillment even is having great habits. And so this is just one way to these are just ways to maintain motivation, but we have to have habits.
And I think we do talk about things to run away from in that episode as well. But about things to run away from, you talk about like things to run towards is really motivating. Michael has recently introduced me to this thing that he calls inevitability thinking, which is make anything you want to do inevitable. And one way to do that is to create a consequence that is so large that if you don't do this thing that you really want to do, that is like, it's so terrible that it really motivates you to stay on track. So for me, I'm doing 30 minutes of movement a day for 180 days. It's 6 months. I'm on day 35 today, either 34 or 35. And 30 minutes of movement can mean a whole bunch of different things. Walking the dog is just like intentionally moving my body for 30 minutes, something I want to do for the rest of my life. Absolutely. And if I don't do it, if I miss a day, even just one day, I have to run a marathon within 6 months. And I do not want to run a marathon. Like, that is so the one of the last things in the world I want to do right now. And just knowing that if I don't do it, I'm going to have to run a marathon is so motivating for me to get 30 minutes. There's been, I think one night it was like 8:30 p.m. and I hadn't done it. And I'm like, man, should I just go sit on the rower for 30 minutes? And you were like, you got to do what you got to do. And I went. And yep. I would never do that in any other circumstance.
Yeah, I used this one just the other day. I've been working on a master's thesis for like 5 or 6 years. And just like, so I've spent the majority of the time doing absolutely nothing. And just this year, I picked it back up. And I've been sitting on the discussion and conclusion portion of it for the last 3 months and haven't picked it up. And I finally decided, I think it was last Wednesday, I was complaining to Adi about how I just had to get this thing done. And I was worried that she was going to finish her second master's degree before I finished my first. And I was just complaining to her. And she gave me shit about it. And then I just decided that I was going to get it done that day. And I said, if I don't get it done today, then I'm going to do 1,000 burpees.
1,000. And nobody wants to do 1,000 burpees. Not even Michael Cashew.
No. And so that's literally what I did. I got it all done in one day because I had that consequence, that thing that I was running away from. Mm-hmm. And I think a key aspect of this is that you have to tell other people.
Oh,
you have
for
to tell,
sure.
You have to tell other people that will hold you accountable and will give you shit. And you just have to have integrity with yourself. You know, don't use this thing and not follow through. So don't make it something like, if I don't adhere to this, I'm going to run 1,000 miles. You know, that might just not be even realistic.
Right.
Like, I could something run a marathon. That you actually could do, that would be really shitty.
Yeah, 100%. And I also wouldn't make the thing that you're going to do something impossible, because if you fail it, having to do that consequence kind of, it'll be easier to be like, well, the goal was like really, really difficult. Or like, don't make it so easy for you to fail this goal. Like, moving 30 minutes a day is really reasonable for me. Finishing that discussion that day was super reasonable for you. I feel like the running away from thing, like the running towards, you can make it much more, like much bigger, grander. Running away from, I would make those goals much more reasonable. It's got to be in your control, and it's got to be something that's actually reasonable for you to complete. Otherwise, it'll be easy for you to fail. And then you're going to feel so shitty that you know that you didn't keep this commitment and you're not doing the consequence. Yeah. Like, that's just going to be on your brain constantly. And it's just not a good feeling. I mean, even if it's unconsciously that you have it inside your brain of like, I didn't maintain this commitment and I didn't do the consequence and someone might bring it up one day and I'm going to have to admit it. Like, it's just a really shitty feeling. So just make sure it's something that you can reasonably stick to when you're running away from something.
So guys, just to wrap it up about motivation. Mm-hmm. One, motivation is necessary. However, it is kind of like an emotion. It's like a wave, and we will experience peaks and valleys. And just because we're not feeling super inspired and motivated at some period of time on the journey towards some goal doesn't mean it's a reason to stop. And we've given you lots of ways to kind of get that motivation back. But just know that once you make a commitment, that's the most important thing. You don't have to feel super motivated at all periods of time. Then we've got autonomy, competency, and relatedness. Autonomy is our ability to do things our own way. So you want to seek out some level of this in everything that you do and notice that, or know that everyone desires a different level of autonomy. The next is competency, or seeing improvement towards a goal. You want to give yourself as many markers of progress as possible so that you have as many cables as you can on that elevator, that elevator of improvement.
And try to notice which like markers you put most weight in and just be aware of that so that you are aware that those shouldn't be your only. And like, you're like, I'm really motivated by these couple markers. Don't put all of your eggs in those baskets. Like, make sure you're like, okay, I know that those ones are most motivating for me, but I'm going to search for other ones.
And finally, relatedness. And this is your support system. So enroll your friends, enroll your family, get them doing it with you if possible, but at least let them know what you're going for, who you're going to become, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And if possible, find a mentor, a coach, a teacher, and create that feedback loop.
Yeah. And check out our episode on habits. That's also going to be really helpful for this topic as well.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.